Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I was in spending some time with the Lord, and I want you to this verse of scripture. It's just so powerful. In Exodus 14:13, Moses is speaking to the Israelites, and he replies. This is his response to them, and I'm gonna tell you what happened to cause him to respond like this. But he tells them, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." And what was going on here was that God was setting free the Israelites. They were leaving Egypt. They were out in the desert, and they're practically gone. I mean, if we go back, we understand that this was a history that they had with Pharaoh.
Yeah.
They were in bondage. God allowed all of these plagues, these 10 signs to appear, to prove a point, basically. He hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
And they're here at the very end. I mean, they're at the very end. They're at a point where we are in the desert. We are actually in front of water, and Pharaoh is coming to get us. You know, we are going to die here in the desert, Moses. I mean, I know that God did these other signs and wonders before us that we've never seen before, locusts and turning, you know, a river to blood and all that type of stuff. You know, but I'm not sure here. I'm not sure here. I sense and feel death is upon us. So they were really facing a really grave situation. I mean, they could see from afar the chariots and the horsemen, right? Mm-hmm. They saw that these chariots coming, and they were like, "Something's up. Something, you know, we are done. We are cooked, and we don't have an exit strategy. And
right,
if we could, we couldn't even build a boat because there are no trees out here. We are in the desert." And Moses replied to them. He said, "Listen, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, and what he'll bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again."
Wow.
The Lord, right? The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. I mean, my goodness, any times it means like, be still in the midst of this. Well, God, listen, if God is for you, he won't let you know you can be still, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the middle of a trial, a hardship, a setback, a challenge, if we're not careful, we will begin to magnify what we're seeing in the natural and allow what we're seeing to overtake our thoughts and our emotions. It's amazing that previously God did all of these signs and wonders before them, and amazingly, all of that was totally just erased from their mind.
Mm-hmm.
It totally washed away. You know,
crazy.
Oftentimes, yeah, because oftentimes people think, if I just had a miracle, if God just gave me a miracle, I'm telling you, I would serve God forever. I'm like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a history show this. Read the Bible a little bit.
Miracles don't change people.
That's right. Only relationship with God does. And so here they have had all these encounters with miracles upon miracles, and instantly those miracles were out of their mind. But what they were focusing on was their grave situation. And so it is with you. I mean, if you all your focus is on your hardship, your struggle, your setback, your challenge, what's happening in your home, your marriage, your family, your job, and that becomes your thought pattern, your obsession, if you will, then you're going to allow what's happening in the natural to overtake your thoughts and your emotions. And often what happens is that leaves you paralyzed. That trial has paralyzed you, and fear begins to tighten his grip more and more. And I'm kind of reminded here that, you know, Abraham, the father of faith, actually experienced a situation kind of like this himself in Genesis chapter 15. I mean, he previously just finished rescuing Lot, his family member, you know, and he was being offered, the king of Sodom was offering him all of this bounty, and he says, no, I'm paraphrasing this in chapter 4. He's saying, I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even thread, the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten. And he wanted his blessings to come from the Lord. So this is before, you know, Abram becomes Abraham. And in Genesis 15:1, the Lord tells Abram has a vision, right? Mm-hmm. And in this vision, the Lord tells him, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. This is what God gives him, a vision. God gives him a vision. And this is the word of the Lord to Abram. Do not be afraid. The same thing Moses told the Israelites. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. But what happens? Abraham gets stuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets stuck and doesn't realize that, you know, God just spoke to him out the window.
Right.
Out the window. In verse 2, Abram says, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? Come on now. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. I mean, Abram allowed his present circumstance and situation to influence what he was going to believe about God. And let me tell you, friend, I mean, you need to basically allow what you know of God to change and influence your situation.
Right.
It's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So Abraham's doing all this belly aching, right?
Yeah.
Abram. Then all this belly ache, and he thought to himself, and this is really dangerous when you start thinking to yourself, right? He made a common sense conclusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, it's all over. I don't have any children. You know, Sarai and me and Sarah, you know, we are too old and we're not going to have no more children.
Right.
Right. And so it's a wrap. It's all done. And this was the very big mistake that Abram did, and that caused him to be afraid. He applied common sense principles to a not so common God. He applied common sense principles, common sense deduction and reasoning to an extraordinary God that functions completely outside of our limited box and our so-called common sense.
Mm-hmm.
He reduced in his mind what God can do. Listen to this. Abram reduced in his mind what God can do based upon what he was to figure out, reason, calculate. You know, he's intelligent, right? In his pin-sized little mind. And how often does that happen? We fall into a trap of limiting God based upon our experience and based upon some common sense. He totally waxed over, do not be afraid, Abram. I, God, am your very shield, your very great reward. And as Abram began to start trusting God and made a covenant with God, God made a covenant with him, rather, he went from Abram to Abraham, and he went from having a negative zero chance, right, in the common sense realm, to having descendants that outnumbered the stars and the skies and that outnumbered the sand on the shore. I mean, in the natural, whatever you're facing may not make any sense. In the natural, you may not be qualified. In the natural, the doctor said that, you know what, that's it, this is over for you. In the natural, them packed up and it's over and it's gone.
Right.
In the natural, he left. It's over. In natural, you're broke. They're coming to get it. It's over. It is the. They told me that they don't do this, and this is what they do. And if you allow those circumstances, you can't allow those situations in your life, your ministry, your marriage, your finances to influence you. You're determining God to allow what you know of God. I mean, everyone has come to a crossroad. And what are you going to do? You're going to allow those situations to dictate, okay. Or are you going to allow what you know of God? You're going to press in and say, no, I'm going to allow what I know of God to affect my situation, to affect my circumstances. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God operates in a completely, totally different realm. And what we need to accept is the fact is that, you know what? My thoughts are not his thoughts. You know what I'm saying? His ways are far above my ways. And you have to settle in your heart. You have to refuse to bring God down to your level, but you need to raise your vision higher. You need to see the way God will want you to see. I love it how in Exodus 14:15, the Lord says to Moses, right after he's you know, telling them, hey, guys, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid. The Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. He's like, right. Why are you crying out to me? My word says it. That should settle it. And I've given you example upon example upon example that whatever God did for somebody else, let me tell you, he can do for you, right? He's not a respecter of person. And so sometimes you just have to move on with God. You can't be paralyzed, right? You have to refuse to get stuck on what's happening in the natural and continue to press forward. And this is probably, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've read this one portion of scripture, but I love 2 Corinthians 9:8, because it says God is able. God, right? Mm-hmm. The one who is the creator and the manager of the universe, the one who the word of God says that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Him, that God, is able to make all grace abound to you. And I love the grace of God, because it's part of the grace of God is God's enablement, his supernatural empowerment for you and I to do in Christ what we cannot do on our own. We don't have the ability. We don't have the capability to do that. But in God, through the grace of God, through his enablement, right, we can do it. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. So God is able to make all of his grace abound to you so that in all things, in every situation, in every struggle, in every setback, in every challenge, no matter what you're facing, if you're facing the big one, whatever the big one is for you, so that in all things, at all times, in all seasons of your life, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That word abound means to exist in great quantities. You're going to be blessed. You're an overcomer. You're going to make it through this thing. This thing is not going to define you. It's not going to take you down. It's not going to allow you to say, oh, woe is me. But at some point, we got to say, whose report are we going to believe? Mm-hmm. Whose report? Whose report? You got to be at the crossroads and say, you know what? Right after Moses told this to the Israelites, he told them not to be afraid. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Be still. You're not going to see these Egyptians. You are not going to see them no more. I'm like, are you kidding me? We've been in captivity for years. Moses, do you not remember the bricks? Hello? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't you remember all of this? And you're telling us today we're not going to see them no more? And then God tells Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites, come on, move on. And what happens? The very next thing, Moses begins to raise his staff, and God begins to part the waters. It's time, right? I mean, it's time in your situation to say, you know what? I'm going to raise the staff, and I'm going to watch God do a very uncommon thing. I'm going to allow him to part the waters, split the waters, and I want to allow God to make a way where there was no way. That's what God specializes in. I've noticed in my own life, God is a way maker.
Yeah, he is.
He's a way maker. He makes the way. Yeah, I mean, not in yourself. It's not going to happen. Not in your own deductive reasoning and calculations. And stop comparing what other people's experience based upon what can happen for you. If you're a child of God, hey, that may be true for Jimmy, Peggy, Carlos, and Miguel over there. But you know what? That may not be true for you if you're a son and a daughter of a king. I understand that that's what they said. But you know what? My God has the final answer, and he is ready to make a way where there is no way. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.